Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, September 30th, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Of course, we've got to talk a little bit about what's going on right now with the government shutdown and all that kind of stuff and defunding Obamacare and changing it. We'll get into that discussion as much as you would like to talk about it. And the other is other issues facing us these days. What else? Amnesty. Don't forget about amnesty. The other I was going to talk a little bit about is when it's called smart something, take off running the other way, okay? And I'll explain that. Some I already know, what exactly I'm talking about, but I'll get into some of that as well. But, and then, you know, if there's anything else you want to talk about specifically, please feel free to call in 347-857-4364, 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to let me know you want to speak on the air. Otherwise, I do not bother the other phone numbers in the queue because some people are just listening. So make sure you press 1. Okay. We all know about the games going on. I mean, it was quite interesting to see what was happening with the CR over the weekend, where the House members are there coming up with another option, changing it to send it back to the Senate. But, of course, the Senate wasn't anywhere to be found. And that's because, you know, you talk about why weren't they there, you know? These people, they really don't deserve to be paid. They're so overpaid, it's not funny. But, of course, the Senate, you know, they were out there on the golf course doing whatever they were doing. And the last thing they were thinking about was actually working, with the exception of a couple of them. There were definitely a couple there in Washington who were ready to do their work, but Harry Reid and company said, no, it's vacation time. And so what about the CR? It's really important, but not so important that we should stick around and work on it. So, I mean, it really shows you the games that are going on, the evilness of some of these people. And that's when you really got to ask, and, you know, the whole reason we came up with the name American Statesman for Blog Talk Radio was, what's the difference between a politician and a statesman? Yes, James Freeman Clark wrote this, like, in 1918 or something back then. It was a while back. But a politician works for the next election. A statesman works for the next generation. And so when you look at everything going on in Washington, D.C. these days, and in your state capitals and in your local government, do you have politicians or do you have statesmen? I think most of us would say we got 95, 99, somewhere 95 plus. I'll say 95 plus percent of politicians, not statesmen. Not statesmen who are doing the work for the American people, not those who are truly, genuinely focused on what's best for our country as a whole. And, I mean, personally, I say 95, nice. I'm being generous in saying 95. So, I mean, that's my take on that. But we really don't have hardly any statesmen. We have a bunch of sleazy politicians who are worried about the next election. They're not worried about what's right for the country. They're not worried about what's right for the people of this country. Not worried about sovereignty. They just don't care. It's so disgusting. And that's exactly what you saw this weekend. Do you truly think Harry Reid cares about this country, what he did this weekend? Regardless of what his position was on the issue of Obamacare, he said, well, you know, we're not taking it. We're just going to ignore it. We're going home. We'll see you guys when we get back in on Monday, whenever we get here. Well, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Have to have time to get those flights in the morning and, you know, take some time, have a nice lunch, and then finally show up to work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, that is despicable. The guy is evil. This is why our country is failing, because of individuals like this. And, excuse me, we have more of these than anything else. So when you think about what's happening, you know, people always want to play into it, but that Ted Cruz was grandstanding. He's trying to get attention. And it's like, you know, they would say that about anybody who did the right thing, anybody who was actually willing to stand up for something they believed. And I mean, not strictly on a local level, I can tell you I was told the same thing one time when I was protesting the toll taxes. What office are you running for? I wasn't running for any office. I was tired of the crap, and I'm still tired of the crap here in Florida and across the whole country when it comes to toll roads, but we won't get into much of the toll roads right now. But the whole point is there isn't a sense that Americans can truly just be genuinely good people, that somehow you're scheming for something. And that's so sad. I mean, Americans, as a general rule, by and large, Americans are the most generous people in the world. We give money to other parts of this world that have nothing to do with us, but out of a sense of trying to help out when there's been a natural disaster, or even when there's been other abuses and things. So, man-made abuses such as war and things like that. So, it's sickening when you realize when somebody actually just stands up and does the right thing. Of course, they're going to get challenged. Now, Ted Cruz, is he going to get any other benefits? Well, you know, if you hit a grand slam, don't you get some kind of attention for it? I mean, when you do the right thing, when you do something good, why should you not get some attention for that? I don't think it's a bad thing to notice those who do something good. I don't think you should follow over them. It's like, wow, oh my goodness, you did the right thing. I just can't believe a person actually did the right thing. I mean, you shouldn't get crazy like that either, but I don't think it's bad. And I think when it comes to Washington, D.C. and politicians, elected public servants, we tend to say be in awe of somebody that actually, wow, you actually know what the Constitution is. You've actually read the Constitution. Oh, my goodness. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you. You've actually sent us somebody who knows how to read, who knows the Constitution, and actually cares a little bit about it. What more could we ask for? Well, we could ask for 545 more of them. We need all these people to actually genuinely believe in the Constitution. And when someone has courage to say the Constitution is more important than what some special interest that's going to give me money in my campaign, when you do that, you got to be impressed, and we ought to appreciate what they've done. And also, when they do run for re-election, you should support them, not necessarily by the money as much as the volunteering, but of course, we all know money does play a role in campaigns. But the whole point is let the people re-elect them. Don't let the party establishment re-elect them. And apparently, you know, lots being said about Ted Cruz, of course, and those who have surrounded him. But he was the one who took on the task to say, I'm going to talk about this for as long as I can, as long as I can stand here. I'm going to talk about it because people need to know about it, and we need to draw attention to it. Was he trying to draw attention to the issue or to himself or both? Without a doubt, drawing attention to the issue was going to draw attention to himself, and so what? To me, it was more important to talk about the issue, and it was good to have others who actually had some useful information to talk about on the details of it. Like if you sell a home that's over $200,000, I think it's $200,000, you're going to pay a sales tax. All these different taxes that are embedded, the sales tax on the medical devices, which is what they were trying to pull out today. That was part of the CR to delay Obamacare for a year and discontinue permanently the taxes on medical devices. I mean, if you have to have a wheelchair, how much are you going to pay in taxes on it? Kind of thing. And then the other was pull that out, and of course to delay the Obamacare. Those were the two things that were added. But then they sent that, the House sent over a separate bill to fund payment for the military in the event of a government shutdown, which I think is only the decent thing to do. If the Democrats in the Senate would not have done that, they would have really been in shame. And but I believe, as I understood it, that they did pass that one. So the military will get paid. In the overall scheme of things, what I don't understand is, why is Congress still getting paid? Why are they not getting their income furloughed as well? And I was trying to find out. I thought there was an amendment that did this, but I can't find anything. I'm trying to find which amendment says that Congress will always get paid regardless of whether they do anything or not. Because that's one of the biggest disgraces right now. These people are so overpaid in so many ways. I mean, they're overpaid by what they get paid by us, the taxpayers. They get every kind of quirk you can imagine, every kind of write-off you can imagine. Of course, health care, plus their pension after just 2 to 4 years or something. I mean, it's all so disgusting. They shouldn't get any of that crap. That's not what public service is about. And we need people who will actually reject that. When someone's running for office, say, put in writing now, you will decline a pension plan, that you're no better than the rest of us. You are an American. You are not some elitist. You are not royalty. Being in public office does not make you royalty or nobility of some sort. You are just another American. And so we really need to push that kind of stuff. The Glenn Beck was talking a little bit earlier today in reference to things are changing. And it's true. You know, we do see more and more people getting engaged. O'Reilly was on his show, and O'Reilly is still, he's kind of not sure what's going to happen. Kind of goes back and forth. But, you know, the fact of the matter is there are people getting more and more engaged. We are making more and more noise, and it is helping. And so I encourage everybody, call. Make as many phone calls as you can. Call every one of them. It doesn't matter what party they're in, because the parties mean nothing. And then fax information to them, email it to them, mail it to them. Hit them in every direction that we can, because that's the only way we're going to get their attention. We're going to bombard them with our complaints, and they're going to have to listen. They're going to have to listen, or they're going to realize they're not going to have a job. And that next election could be more challenging, I'll put it that way. And that was, I think, what Glenn Beck was talking about. A guy in Texas, I believe it is, Pete Sessions, I think was his name, representative or senator, not sure what. Any rate, the Tea Party of Texas is going after him, saying they're going to make sure they get somebody else to replace him because he doesn't do the job. He runs and hides. He doesn't stand up for anything they believe in. They had multiple town hall meetings, public town hall meetings, and he wouldn't attend and talk to them. And, you know, that's not representation. That's a politician, not a statesman. And we've got to get statesmen in there who actually care about the people's business and are focused on that. It's really just that simple. And so everybody who spoke, even including Rubio, oh, God, I hate to say anything good about Rubio because I can't stand him. But anyway, any of those who stood up on behalf of defunding Obamacare and pointing out the ills of Obamacare are the ones that we need to be admiring. But listen to what they say. And like I say, Rubio stood there and he said Obamacare was wrong. But if you listen to the true content of his message, he really didn't say much. He talked about being an American with two Cuban parents and this and that and whatever, and, you know, the American dream. And that was all fine and dandy, and that Obamacare was going to hurt us, all fine and dandy. But that is not what the issue – I mean, that doesn't get into the nitty-gritty of the problems of Obamacare. I mean, I don't recall – and maybe he did say something about SeaWorld, because SeaWorld's right here in Florida, Orlando. I believe he did say something about SeaWorld was cutting people, cutting hours, doing things like that. So he may have made a few points like that. But for the most part, he really was just, you know, supporting the cause of defunding Obamacare, because he knows he is so far down because of his amnesty garbage that he will do anything to try to pretend to be a conservative. And I say, yeah, he still was out there saying it. He still voted. As far as I know, he voted the right way, but to be honest, I'm not sure. So, okay, that's fine. But then you get into the other people who were standing up, of course, Mike Lee, an expert on Obamacare and the details of what's in it. You had Jeff Sessions, who was out there talking about what it was doing to the citizens and at what point do we care, at what point does a nation owe its loyalty to its people. And that was one of his quotes in reference to amnesty, but it's true of that too. And then you had Rand Paul, who was out there and, you know, oh, he's got very specific details about Obamacare, why it was bad. But, you know, the media never talks about that. The media never reports why it's bad. You know, I do not know, with the exception of Fox News and some of their shows, I do not know of any of the other shows that openly talk about the fact that Obamacare is taking a person who was getting 40 hours a week with no insurance. That's, you know, smaller companies frequently don't pay for insurance, and some companies don't pay for it anyway. But say if you were working 30 or more hours a week without insurance, now they're going to make the company pay you insurance, so now they're going to cut your hours back. So your hours are going to be cut back, and your cost of insurance is going to go up. And then others who were, if you were part-time, you were 32 hours a week. And a lot of places did that. 32 hours a week was part-time. 40 hours was a week is what made you full-time. Now those people, 32 hours, are going to get cut back to 28, 26, 28 to make sure they don't go over. Excuse me. So you're taking the people with the lowest income, the lowest benefits, you've cut their hours, and you've increased their cost of living. And in the overall scheme of things, because the doctors are all taking off running, you've lowered their health care. So what part of this is good? You know, how do the Democrats think that they've helped the middle class? For the life of me, I don't see how a Democrat or anybody could think that they helped the middle class. It didn't. It's harmed the middle class, and it's harmed our economy. But when you realize, okay, well, why would Obama do this? Why would the Hillarys out there, the progressive liberals, do this? Liberal, progressive, socialism, communism, these are things that come to mind. Fall of the United States, yeah. These people want this country to fall. And what a lot of what they're doing with this Obamacare is going to have that very, very destructive effect. And that's why, you know, it's kind of, I don't know that a shutdown is so bad. And Americans have to accept the fact, if we want to save this country, if we want to save the United States of America, restore our constitutional rights and our liberties like we're supposed to, and not be totally sold off to China or whoever, but primarily China, then we are going to have to take some very tough love. The tough love, I think, starts now. Go ahead, shut the government down. They said they're going to pay the military. They're going to pay all essential services, which, of course, is a joke when you think about, okay, so all the non-essential services are just fluff. But essential services, such as the Social Security and Medicare and the military, and, of course, Congress paying themselves, you know, these critical pieces, will continue to be funded. And we will pay our bills. We'll pay our debt. So it's not that part of it. This is just a game they play. They're going to cut, you know, it's no different than when you're in your own home, your own household budget, when something happened and you had to go spend money on something out of the ordinary, some kind of emergency or whatever, and now your monthly budget is below what it's supposed to do. So one, do you run and take money out of your savings account? Or two, do you try to rework your current budget and cut off a few things and survive another month and then get caught back up the following month? So there's different ways, and the federal government's no different. They've overspent. They've overspent because the politicians are not statesmen. A statesman would never do this. A statesman would never have us in the mess we're in if they genuinely cared about this country, instead of being sleazy politicians that are just up there to see how much money they can get from the special interest and from the political parties and all the other stuff. And I think it was Jefferson that said the Republic will survive until people realize they can pay themselves. These people pay themselves. Everything to do with what Congress's compensation needs to be totally trashed and started over. Yeah, they should make a decent get some kind of decent compensation for being there. They should not get rich off of the people. They should not get pensions off of the people. And there should be term limits. Term limits, I think, are one of the biggest things that we need. And in the past, you know, it's easy to say that you don't believe in term limits because you have elections and you just don't elect somebody. You just fire them. And you know, in theory, it's all great. If you truly had a fair playing field out there, if everybody had the same amount of money and all this kind of stuff, and the political parties were not doing what they're doing, the super PACs weren't out there buying their candidates, it would be all fine dandy to say that. But the fact that we do have a government that's for sale, these people are bought and paid for, not all of them. Some are bought and paid for less than others, and some are genuine. Like I say, there's the statesman versus the politician. A small percentage truly have the integrity, the ethics, and the courage to do the job the way it needs to be done. Most of them are very weak, which is a sad reflection of the American culture and American people as a whole. When we can't find some honest people to send to public office, all we can find are crooks, evildoers, traitors, those who want to destroy this country. And that's what we have in there now. I step back and say, is there really somebody that's in the public office, you know, if you truly don't believe in freedom, don't believe in this Constitution, and you believe we should be all communists under the United Nations kind of thing, then you really shouldn't have run for office. But at the same time, if you truly believe that, that's what you're going to do. You're going to run for office and try to change it. So how many anti-Americans do we truly have in public office today? I have to tell you, I take a totally different look. In the past, when someone swore on the Koran, I really didn't, or Quran, whichever you like to say it, I didn't really think as much about it, thinking, you know, freedom of religion. But now when I see somebody doing that, it's like, no, it bugs me. I could not support anybody who's voting on the Koran when I know what it is. So we've got to get people up there who truly, genuinely believe in this country and believe being a statesman versus a politician. And you know what? Ted Cruz, I'm not going to say there isn't more than one motive there, but it doesn't matter. He was willing to put his integrity and his career, whatever you want to call it, out there on the line to stand up and say Obamacare is wrong, and he was going to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. And he gave that forum, gave others the option to come in and talk about it, Mike Lee and these people, and it was the right thing to do. I cannot complain or criticize Ted Cruz for doing that. I was glad he did. He brought more attention to the issue. And when he turned it all around, like I say, to me, the shutting down the government, I don't really know it's such a bad thing. It's tough love. Yep. We're going to have to suffer. We will never clean up this country and take it back without suffering. That's just the way it is. So I'm not as concerned about the shutdown maybe as what some people are. But on the other side of it, excuse me, when you see the way Harry Reid and our White House occupier and all these games that they're playing, they want to shut it down. Right now, I don't think they could get, even if the House would send a clean CR over to them, I still don't think they would vote for it because they want to shut the government down. They somehow think that's going to make them look good and the Republicans look bad. Well, at this point in the game, I don't know that it makes the Democrats look good. I think it makes them all look pretty stupid in one way or another. But I believe the fact that you have people who are standing up for what's wrong with Obamacare and the various issues with what's happening in this country, I think it truly gives credit to those who are willing to stand up and oppose the status quo. Right now, I think most Americans are sick of the status quo. Maybe that's just me, but that's kind of the way I see it right now. So I think as much as the Democrats want their government shut down, and it may happen for a couple of days, I really think it's going to backfire on the Republicans. I do believe more people are getting engaged in the discussion and are seeing what's going on both sides of the aisle in the stupid games. This one here, when they wouldn't even stick around over the weekend. Here, this is a crisis. We need to do something about it. It's a crisis. Oh, well, we'll take care of it Monday afternoon whenever we get back in town. That's okay. No big deal. They're not genuine. These people are hypocritical and evil. That's all there is to it, you know. But like I say, the good thing is, they, if I heard it correctly, they did pass a bill to pay the military regardless. It's absolutely disgusting and should be illegal to ever pay Congress when you're not paying the military. There should never, never be that situation. Congress is one of the most overpaid organizations there are, and they should all take a serious pay cut. None of them should get any kind of pension, and they definitely should have term limits. And that's the way I think about it. I don't know about you, but that's what I think. Let's see here. News Texas is out there. Be a Mad Granny Taft has joined us. But she's not, I was saying she's not ready to speak, but sounds like she's ready to get in there. Let me mention one other thing. Before the show is over, remember this, Granny, I want to say, talk about SMART. Anything that's a government program that says SMART in it, know that it's really dumb and stupid and run the other way. You've got smart growth, smart meters, smartphones. You know, people don't realize anything that says smart is all a way for them to track you. You look into everything that's got to control you and to track you. So if it says smart, something like smart growth and these kind of things, just know it's dumb. Smart meters, they're dumb. They're anti-American. They're anti-rights. If it says smart, run the other way and try to stop it. And I saw some other thing that came out with smart something this past week, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. These people will put the word smart on anything to try to BS people. But on that note, let me get Miss Texas, damn mad Granny Taft, here in the conversation. If I can get this crazy Blog Talk Radio, has really been acting up. Is it going to open it or not? There we go.
Oh, okay. Miss Allen. Yes, he's grafting and barking his neighbors. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm aggravated.
Well, what I'm
aggravated with is I had people that I talked to today that knows I'm in, you know, involved in the political thing, kind of keep up with what's going on. And they, of course, we start talking about this shutdown. What do you think about them shutting down the government? Well, people, let's get this bull crap straight right here and now. The only reason that any part of the government is going to shut down is because of Obama. Now, what did they pass? What did Congress, the House of Representatives, pass on to the Senate? They financed every part of government that Obama wanted, with the exception of Obamacare. They want to take out the parts of Obamacare that will infringe upon our rights as citizens of the United States. This bill is full of stuff, gun control, full of ways to get all your information. It will be put into a computer system. Your health care will be managed whether you like it or not. And I tried to explain that to people today. The only reason anything is happening as far as this government shutdown is controlled is because the Senate and Obama are the ones forcing this. They could pass everything but this other. They're asking them to get with them and work on the Obama thing to amend it down, and get it to where it's halfway acceptable. It'll never always be acceptable. And they won't go that far. They won't do that.
Well, and you know, the game that they're playing, which there's so many different ways to look at this when you talk about the political crap. Forget doing the right thing, because we know that's hard for any of those guys to do, guys and gals to do. But when you look at the core facts, it's like, okay, Now, the Republicans have gone out there, changed, they're doing this, they're doing that. People don't like it. They're trying to make improvements to it. And then they're trying to change, you know, cut back on it and this kind of stuff. And it's the Democrats who are saying, you know, we're not going to do it. We don't care. We're going home. You guys go ahead and play all you want to. We're going to ignore it. We're not going to talk about it because we don't care. So you got this attitude coming from the Democrats. And they keep thinking that if it the government gets shut down, it's going to be all bad on the Republicans. I really don't think it is. On the other aspect, when it comes to Obamacare itself, and this is where we hear both sides from what the Republicans are saying versus what the Democrats are saying and whatever. Truthfully, you know, personally, I think in some ways to delay it a year is probably the worst thing to do for the American people. It would be the best thing for the Democrats to do because it really would postpone the pain and suffering for another year after the election. So in so many ways, I truly see it's a dumb thing for the Democrats to not delay it, and it's a bad thing for the Republicans. You know, I like the idea of delaying it, too, because they're discriminating against us when they treat us differently than they treat the corporations and their cronies and all this other stuff. But if you think about it from the strategic side of it, the Democrats would be in better shape if they took the delay, because it would put all the crap, all the pain and suffering tied to it until after the election. Now, will after the election, and by the fact that the pain and suffering is after the election, I don't know that that really helps solidify the problems the Democrats have created with this monster of a bill. So will some of the Democrats get reelected again, or will there still be that mentality to reelect the Democrats if, in fact, people have not suffered from this mess? So it may, to that degree, there may be a strategy going against changing, repealing, totally getting rid of Obamacare the other way around. Now, personally, if we could postpone it for a year, get the right people in public office, and that's not Boehner because he didn't really want to defund it anyway. He didn't want to get rid of it. He says he does, but he doesn't. But change the House and the Senate enough to get those who would truly, even if they didn't repeal it because we know the president wouldn't sign it, they would definitely be able to fully shut it down and destroy it, dissect it, take the pieces out of it, do all this other stuff to it until Obama was out of there, and then get the other stuff finished. So, you know, there's kind of like these two different ways of looking at what is really the best way to do for the safety and the sake of the country, which to me the better thing for the country is to get rid of Obamacare. But they're out there playing this game. I mean, everybody knows they're playing a game. What game is going to be the best game for us to really do something to shut it down? My fear is, like many people, once it gets started, it never gets stopped. And we have to realize, I mean, it's becoming so apparent to anybody with a brain, they want to collapse. They want to totally take down the insurance industry in the sense that it is no longer privatized. What was it? Aetna is one of them that closed today. Or has stopped doing business in his home state, the state in which the company was founded, like in 1850. That's over 100 years that company has been out there, and they're closing in their home state where they were founded because of Obamacare. So that's what Obama wants, and that's what these liberal progressives want. Take everything down to, you know, put it up, cause it all to collapse. Cause the whole system to collapse so that you're forced into a social medical system and socialized medicine to the max. And maybe that's when the revolution happens. I don't know. But I do kind of think, you know, right now I'm out there encouraging doctors to go away. Leave the practice so there's no doctors to provide any service until they change it. Maybe that's really the better option. You try to think of all the different ways of how we need to truly fight this war on this stuff. And there was one other thing. You hear this kind of jumping, changing subjects just a little bit, but it comes down to the United Nations, this one world order stuff, and this socialism that they're trying to transform the United States of America. There was some deal, and I saw it two times on YouTube or out there, where they're preaching that we should find the UN treaty that the children are all covered under the laws of the United Nations.
This is all about.
It all ties together. It's all part of this one world order.
Exactly. I mean, that's what this is all about. And it's like I told people today, the guy that I was talking to today, I told him, I said, do you only listen to the news on TV? He says, well, yeah, basically. I said, well, let me give you a piece of advice. You've got to get your head out of it. You've got to go on the internet. You have got to look around and dig. You have got to determine what are safe places to go. If you want some help, I'll help you with it. But you cannot just sit at home and let mainstream media feed you this line of bull. You can't do it, because if you do, he has a father-in-law he was worried about today who they put in the is back in the hospital. He has a lot of medical problems. And I said, here's a for instance. You're not understanding what's going on with all of this. You know that father-in-law that you're so worried about that has all these medical problems? Yeah. I said, well, according to Obamacare, which you don't know about, I said, this man will not get treated. He would not be in the hospital getting the treatments he's getting if he's over 74 years old. I said, it's there, black and white. All you have to do is read it. Well, what would they do? I said, they would just give him pills to keep him comfortable and let him quietly fade away into the sunset. Oh, no, they wouldn't do that. I said, oh, yes, they would. And
yes,
that's
they
exactly
would.
Planned. But they're not telling you that. I can't believe in the news media. I cannot believe that anyone who is affiliated with a TV station or a network does not know what's in that bill.
Oh, but, don't want to know.
Well, the general public doesn't know, and what they're finding here in San Antonio, you know, they're out beating the bushes, because they've got to get all these little illegals signed up for all this insurance they're fixing to get for free, and everybody's going to be able to afford it, and that's where they're wrong.
Nothing's free. Which, speaking of Texas, let me ask, how is your recall effort going there on Castro?
I haven't heard one word on the TV about it. I haven't looked at it in my email. I'm fighting some other problems with family over brother, so oh well. But I haven't looked. I know, God. It's going to end like day after tomorrow if I'm lucky. I don't know. They're not talking about it, so I don't know how it's going.
Okay.
We can wish for the best, but I don't know, you know. I know I'm not very helpful right now, but I'm sorry.
No, well, I just really thought this is one of those things you really would follow, because you really want that guy out of there.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Because
he's acting like he's Lord of the Rings or something down here now, you know. He's little Castro that walks on water, like the big Castro that swims in water with barracudas over in Cuba.
Or the one that's in the White House thinking he can walk on water, too.
Well, he doesn't qualify as a Castro. He qualifies. Oh, never mind. I can't go there, can I?
Yeah.
But he qualifies as something else. And it's not good.
Qualifies as a Muslim Brotherhood, if you ask me.
Exactly.
I'll say that part.
His colors are worn on his shoulder. I mean, it's all over him, and people just want to ignore it.
Yeah, they do. They just rather not believe. Ignorance is not bliss, people. It's expensive. Wake up.
Well, when they get the premiums, they're going to sign up for this stuff, and they're going to find out that the only way their premiums are going to be cheaper is what kind of a, discount the government decides to give them. Now, understand this, that the government intends to give them.
Right. Yeah, how convenient. And, on the last show, we talked about the fact that the Senate was not allowed to create taxes. That's unconstitutional.
Right.
And how this was, you know, how Roberts really did kind of give us an out, if anybody would pay attention. Well,
right.
I went ahead today. I don't know that I'm going to get a response. Probably not, but I did go ahead and put it out there, sent an email to Ted Cruz and also to Glenn Beck, just saying,
right.
How come nobody ever talks about the fact the Senate doesn't have the authority to create taxes? And the affordable health care thing, the Obamacare, is full of new taxes created by the Senate. Why isn't this taught, this stuff? And then what was the other thing I put out there? Also, what about discrimination? What do I have to do to get a law on October 1? This is, of course, assuming all, you know, the government's not shut down, whatever. October 1, when Obamacare becomes active, at that point, I will be discriminated against. I'm not going to be getting the same special benefits that others do. I'm being discriminated against because I'm not part of their clan, and I want to know what I have to do to get a class action suit. Why should I'm being discriminated against? Americans should have all the same rights. We shouldn't be treated differently. So what do I have to do to get that?
Right, because if they don't have to, they have a year. And this is another thing. And the bill that they passed, they want him to put off, putting into action this Obamacare. And now that's in there, so that they could work things out, so that they could, do what was right by the American people. Obama didn't want to talk about it. And you heard him. He's not going to make a deal. He won't even think about it.
No.
And if there was if there wasn't something wrong, if there wasn't something sleazy going on, why is he being so hard-headed on working with Congress, with the House, and working out a deal to be able to get, save people, in other words, to work the bill out and to save the shutdown instead of causing the shutdown? What is with that?
Well, I'll tell you what a couple of people said, not just one. A couple of people said on the various Sunday talk shows, which is totally nuts, though, but, it's because, again, it's all about the Mimi syndrome. It's not about we the people. It's about Mimi. So I said, well, this was his signature legislation. You can't expect him to go and destroy it and to trash it and take it down. He is never going to do that on his signature. This is... The Democrats have been trying to get health care out there for years and this and that, and so he's never going to do that. It's like the fact that it's bad and it's hurting everybody doesn't matter. That's not. It's all about his ego and his legacy. Well, your legacy is going to be a pile of crap is what it is, and because that's what Obamacare is, a pile of crap.
Exactly, that's exactly what's going on. And he as much as said it himself today on his little... I had to choke and gag as I listened to him at his little news conference.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I will never, my bill, my health care, you know, and that's where it is. It's all in his ego trip.
And it's all structured to make the insurance industry come to its knees and create he said he was going to transform America, and this is what he meant. He's
going to
turn it into a socialist society.
Okay. Also, I want you to remember, public has to remember to start doing this because I'm doing it, and everybody likes to think I'm crazy, and that's okay. You look at the businesses, for instance, McDonald's, for instance, look at PBS, Walmart, companies that you've been doing business with for a very long time. If you've noticed, in the last few years, they've remodeled. And the color schemes, and Sally, I know you think I'm dreaming, the color schemes that they're using, if you will look, have gone to their red and yellow and their blue and white and everything that they were using. They have gone to beiges and yellows and greens and oranges.
Well, I definitely noticed it with the Walmart, which includes Sam's Club, Definitely going to the beige, two-tone beige color and a green sign. Yep. That most definitely. There's definitely a change of colors there. Now, part of me said, well, the blue, the gray-blue, whatever you want to call that combo they did have, I actually thought was kind of ugly, but I'm not really impressed with the new colors either.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter whether I'm impressed or not. What I'm concerned about, and I'm wanting people to realize, and this is going to happen with the insurance company as well. Not all insurance companies will fold. There will be a select few, the hierarchy,
right,
that's going to survive. They are the ones who are going to survive. They're going to pull through all this, and they will be the ones controlling, and that's why controlling our insurance. And that's why they didn't jump up and yell and scream. Think about this, people. When all this got started, did you hear them jumping down and up and down, screaming and hollering, trying to block this bill? No.
They were very quiet. They were very quiet.
Very
totally
quiet. Because what's going to happen is you have a select few, the elite, who are going to be the ones controlling your life.
And they're going to do it with the help of government. This is going to be against massive social
They're going to be the elite. In other words, they're going to do what the UN tells them to do. It's not Obama. It's not going to be Hillary Clinton. It is going to be the United Nations.
Yep, and trying to get up, people understand about this New World Order stuff and what's happening, and it's just people just refuse. So many Americans are still in denial. They just don't want to believe it can happen. And I said 9/11 couldn't happen either, but it did. So please,
well, you know what really drives me crazy, besides 40 million things?
Was that a trick question?
Yeah, trick question. Is the fact, I listen to these guys in the mornings and in the afternoons do their little spills and do their little rants and do their little raves, and I'm wondering why they aren't in a calm, and if it takes 10 days to do it, understanding way to explain to people, to put it out there exactly what you and I have been discussing. But they don't. They put it out there in a way that you can't tell if there's something really bad in this Obamacare or not. They don't spell it out.
No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't want people to know. They want the confusion because that's the way they maintain their power. You know, that's why you know that the Republicans are so many liberal progressives in the Republican Party, with the exception of a few who stand, come forward, like Cruz and Mike Lee and Rand Paul and these people. They come forward and talk about facts. They talk about the true nitty-gritty facts, and they can prove the facts. They have the numbers. They can show what's going on. They have all these companies who have come forward. They're giving you the facts. But, you know, the heart and soul of the Republican Party isn't doing that. The heart and soul of the Republican Party is just a bunch of liberal progressives like John McCain. So
what's so bad is you've got Democrats out there that's not doing it.
Democrats
got elected this last time, they were going to do what they wanted them to do. Well, they're not doing it.
Well, I mean, the Democrats, and this is the sad part, too. I mean, it's on both sides, because we have to realize that there is no such thing as a Democrat Party that truly is just out there supporting the working class and protecting them, if you want to call it that, supporting core rights and that kind of thing. And the Republicans that were supposed to be about smaller government and more rights, you know, neither party truly stands for anything. They don't stand for that. It's one big melting pot, blob. And there, in many ways, when you think of what Boehner was doing until he was really called on the carpet about it, he was going to go along with what they were saying, and it was all part of the same thing. So let's see how many ways people can totally collapse this country, totally collapse healthcare. Excuse me. Totally collapse healthcare, and then that's just one more piece. You're destroying this country, And why are you doing it? Are you really this stupid? John Boehner, are you really this stupid? John McCain, you're obviously a traitor, whatever. You know, Lindsey Graham, you're a traitor. You know, you people got in there so long you thought you walk on water and that you're the gods out there. And so you're nothing but a bunch of treasonous traitors. These other people that are, I'll say, less experienced, even though most of them have been there way too long, they don't care. They all seem to be just a bunch of liberal progressives. And, of course, when you have the Muslim population growing in there, what do you think that is all about? And then you have Americans on the sidelines saying, well, you can't say anything about the Muslim. Oh, my God, just because they want to kill Americans, there's no reason for us to do anything about it. Which takes me back to one other thing that I had three questions that I sent to Glenn Beck and to Cruz, which I mentioned to them earlier, but the other one was, when the POTUS violates their authority by creating new laws, ignoring laws, as they have done with Obamacare and other things, why isn't the Congress doing anything about it? I mean, what good is having a Congress if they won't enforce the laws on the chief executive? And so, because all we have now is we don't have a president, we have a dictator or a king. So, you know, you take those different things too. Congress has failed to do its job in controlling the powers of that office too. Obama should be in court and in jail right now, as far as I'm concerned, for many reasons. But the grossly obvious is that he's out there. He's become a king or a dictator. He's really not a president anymore.
No,
and
he's
we have a Congress that stands and looks at him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he said the other day, he put it right out there, you know, my responsibility is almost over. In other words, his job of bringing this country down is almost over.
Exactly.
He's telling people, and they're doing just like he did when he got elected. I don't know what they think this man is talking about. I have the faintest idea, because to me, they must think he's talking about walking on water or for the, you know, if this passes and we don't win this battle to stop this, then, you know, they think he's just doing all this for the hell of it. He got up there and lied to us just so he could say he did. You know,
what they put in this bill
was the American people, you know, they wanted them to give us a break on this health care, just like they have Congress. The people that work in Washington, the unions, the who else? They're getting a year's break. Oh, big business. All big business has been told. Not little business now. Big business. They get a year's break. They get a year's break because they don't understand this. They can't figure it all out. So they get a break. But the people in the United States who's paying their wages, who's paying for, their salaries and everything, we don't get a break. They're going to, because we're so stupid, they're going to shove it down our throats, and we're not going to be the wiser.
Well, that's it. They figure it, but, you know, at the same time, you have to at least be a little encouraged by more people getting engaged in the discussion. I mean, I can see even with what happened with the House. We know we did make some difference because that House, too many of them would have caved into the Obama progressive liberal, whatever you want to call it, garbage, had it not been for so many individuals protesting what they were doing. But there's so many things. They're tearing us apart in so many directions all the time. Like I was saying about the smart, anything that's called smart is really dumb. The smart meters, the smart growth, the smartphones. And, you know, it's like people, when you're doing all this stuff on a smartphone, you just better remember you have no privacy out there. They're going to be monitored even more so than the other. It amazes me how much people try to do or willingly do on a cell phone. without thinking about the fact that it's all being monitored so closely. It's just kind of strange to me. But anyway, but anything, any government program or any, when they start calling anything smart something, you can figure it's some kind of government spying operation.
Most definitely. I mean, look at the meters. That, you know, they're telling you the down here, I don't know if they're doing it in Florida, but down here they've got this great system that you sign up for that you can control your house electricity from your computer. You
from
can,
your computer and from your phone. It's
yeah.
A smart app.
Now think about this. If you can control it through your computer, who else do you think can control it through your through their computer? Has anyone even thought about that? No.
Well, these people obviously aren't thinking about it, because that's exactly my point. And it was, I think it was on Fox, the Fox News this weekend. I can't remember. But they were showing a smart home. That's what it was, a smart home. Smart home, smart house.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's all wired, and then you can control it from your laptop, from your computer, or from your smartphone. I'm like,
right.
People not understand that how now your house is wired, and they can monitor you every which way, because literally these applications, in fact, that's what it was. I think it was a Miss America or whatever it was. Somebody was spying on her, and it was through one of these technologies of a smart home, and she didn't realize how someone else could be watching her on it. And it's like, oh, my, people, if it's so smart, stay away from it.
I know, but, you know, it's because they're all wrapped up in, and this is a Bill Gates plan, they're all wrapped up in computers and the latest technology. So they think they're really being smart by doing this. Well, you know, in a few years, it may not happen in our lifetime, but when they go to try to control the thermostat through their computer, they're not going to have any control over it. Like the storm we had come through here the other night. Electricity goes out. You know, I'm in the middle of doing something. I can't do anything about it. And me with oxygen here, that's not a good thing. But there's no way I can control it. And do you think they give up that I have oxygen tank here that I'm supposed to need to stay on? No, they're not worried about that. I'm a peon.
That's right. Most of us are. No, I'm one too. They don't care. They pick and choose who they care about. And the sad part is, you know, when Americans who, again, are overly generous in the overall scheme of things, compared to most societies, Americans are extremely generous, yet they don't realize how their own government's destroying their own people, yet they're worried about the fact that another country is harming its people. Wait a minute. Would you stop and look in the mirror and see what your own country, your own government is doing to your own people? Would you charity begins at home routine. Go save the world after you've saved your own home. And it's just amazing to me that people just look past what we're doing right here. And we're doing the same crap. We're it's even more evil because we act like we care.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the movie stars now. See, they got the movie stars all involved in this. And yes, I go to the movies, and yes, I watch some of them. Sometimes I have favorites and everything. But if you take the boxcar load of them and shake them up, they'd fight to fall out, see which one would fall out the fastest, because they're too damn dumb and too worried about money to figure out what's going on right underneath their nose and what they're being used for.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And what were they saying? California, New York, I think they said Pennsylvania too. They're the ones that are all losing October 1. They're like 54% of the people in those states are losing their insurance.
Their health insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are we talking health insurance again?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's going to happen because the companies that we're talking about all week before we got to this point, the companies have been telling them they can't afford this. So they're either not going to employ their insure their employees, or They're going to cut the hours down because it's actually so expensive, they can't afford to maintain supplying it for them.
Well, the fact is that the insurance companies are pulling out of these states because they can't afford them. They can't afford
Well, also because like I said a while ago, what's going to happen with the insurance companies is that you're going to have that select few that are going to be the ones who will maintain the insurance for the populace. And it just so happens, it sounds like, I guess you were talking, what was the company you were talking about?
Aetna.
Aetna. See, Aetna didn't go along with the plan, so they're getting taken out of the picture, so therefore they won't qualify as some of the chosen few.
Right. Right, and you can kind of figure like, but United Healthcare, I thought they were going to be in there, but they pulled out of California as well. But I kind of figure at this point, going back to what you were saying, how the health insurance companies weren't really fighting this, they've probably already got it plotted out.
You're
going to get this section, we're going to get this section, we're going to, you know, they've already divided it into regions of what carrier is going to carry what.
Oh, yeah, because the regions are all planned out. If you look at their map, I don't know, I guess you can find it on the United States. I've seen the region for Texas.
Right.
And they've got it all planned out, who is going to be able to sell insurance where, and they've determined, you know, that I guess this planned insurance, like everyone's been using, you know, whether they call them MPOs or whatever,
right.
I've never dealt with them because I told them to stick it in the behind. It just didn't make any sense to me in the first place. But they're the ones that, you know, that was a plan to see how many people would fall in line and agree to be have other people determine what type of, and how much health care they were going to get. And I guess we passed the test.
Yeah, the sheeple will also prove that they're willing to be herded around. Just
oh yeah,
be the
just,
sheeple.
Just tell me you're gonna let me die tomorrow. You know, I don't mind. You know, go ahead because that's what they're gonna do. I'm too old. It doesn't make any sense for me to get to help. You know, get taken care of. So just go ahead and let me die.
Well, I'll tell you, my father was definitely concerned. I remember before he passed away, he was saying, you know what, if Obamacare was in now, I wouldn't be alive. I'd have been gone. They wouldn't have paid for me. They wouldn't.
No.
And you know, and that's one thing I can give Sarah Palin credit for. She talked about those death panels early on, and everybody kept trying to trash her for it. But it was the truth, and everybody knew. It was irrational. It's going to be rationalized health care, and it's going to be crappy. And I really do think the best thing truly that can happen to try to bring this thing down to is to have all the doctors leave. Have all the doctors leave the practice. Of course, then we'll probably end up with a bunch of Middle Eastern doctors. I don't know.
What do you mean end up with? They're already here.
Well, I know, but I'm saying that's all that will be left. The Americans will leave, and you will have nothing but that.
Probably so, but I haven't been into a doctor's office, and I don't know how long. Where the doctor that I'm talking to can speak good English, but they're here practicing.
Yep.
And I asked myself, where did you get your license from?
Well, most of them got it from here. Most of them were given a visa to come here, student exchanges and all this other stuff.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, it's if you go, I found a Texan. I found me a cowboy doctor, and I really like him, but it has taken a few years to do it.
Yeah. Well, I agree. With my father being in the hospital all last year, over 90% of the doctors could barely speak English, very broken English. And I'm like, you're trying to talk to somebody who can't hardly speak English or very broken English and trying to understand what they're telling you. But that's true. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I remembered seeing that time and time again, how they were training the Pakistanis. They're from the Middle East. We're paying to train them on health care, and they're coming over here taking over this health care. It's all just so weird. I mean, to call it a conspiracy theory, it's like it's not a conspiracy theory if it's true. and how they have invaded this country in so many ways.
Well, I know this much. If I'm alive when this stuff really starts taking hold, you're going to have to bring me groceries in jail.
Yeah. That's right. Hey, it's live free or die.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it makes no sense, but I'm not willing to sit back and just let them run over me. You know, I had to do that. I didn't have to, and I'm not even going there. Forget that. I take it back. It was a mistake.
there's something else I want to make sure I mention before we get into anything else. As you know, I was having some legal challenges, and this some things that happened in reference to my father's estate, and I still won't go into too many details, but he had a double-wide mobile home, and I'm trying to figure a way to actually either get with one of the veterans groups to help veteran Homes for Heroes is what it's called, Homes for Heroes, or Wounded Warriors, or some of these others, to help a veteran get a home. So somehow, some way, if anybody happens to know of somebody, any of those organizations that do stuff like this for veterans, that I could help them. My father was a veteran. It's a double-wide mobile home. It needs a little bit of TLC, but it's a nice place, and it's in a park. And I'm trying to help get some veterans together to help fix it up and maybe donate it to a veteran who needs a home. So if anybody has any ideas on that, those of you who know me can send me an email or call in, post something out there in the chat room, whatever, and let me know what some of the options are, because I want to try to help to donate something to the veterans.
Have you looked on the internet?
Well, like I said, I have been veterans. So there's the Homes for Heroes, Wounded Warriors. In this particular mobile home park, it's 55 and older. So some of the younger veterans wouldn't be eligible for it. They wouldn't be, not unless I could get the park to do something. But it's a 55 and older community.
Yeah.
So I'm limited there, unless they wanted to take the mobile home out and put it someplace else. So that would be another option. They could take the mobile home and move it to some other lot someplace or do whatever.
Well, I was thinking in the way of have you looked on the internet or I'll look and call you for something that says that they do that.
Well, like I said, there's one group that's Homes for Heroes that does stuff like that. Wounded Warriors does it, but they're going to be all age groups, and the age group is probably the biggest thing that's going to create a challenge. But it's like, I know we've got elderly veterans who are homeless.
Right, and it may also be that, how's I going to say this? It might also going to depend on if they're disabled and how badly they're disabled. They may be able to go ahead and get in into the park. You know, it's really going to probably depend on their situation, how poorly they're doing, how needy they are.
Yeah.
But that's a great... I'll see if I can look something up and see what I can come up with.
Okay. Yeah, please forward anything to me. I've got a couple of veterans who have helped me with some of this in the past. I started to do this a year ago, but that's when all the legal hassles were starting.
Yeah.
And I had to postpone it. So now I'm back on track to try to do this. October 23rd. It's going to make it a year since my father passed away and all this commotion started. It's really sad to see how evil some people can be. It's amazing to me is how evil humans can be, especially those who do it in the name of God. It's like, oh, you're even the worst. Which, speaking of not God, but Jesus.
It's. They have, we shouldn't say we it surprises us. How can it surprise us? We're just sitting here complaining about what's going on in Congress. I mean, we're getting a perfect example of how evil everything is out there these days. My brother told me the other day, I'm evil. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, there is a certain amount of the selfishness, greed is the root of all evil. But there is, I mean, this is really going low. What these individuals did was just extremely low. And, I mean, you see with Congress, you realize how evil and dirty that is. And you see it's the temptation. These people were so weak they couldn't deal with the temptation. But this other one, it's like, you mean to tell me this, you're so pathetic that you would actually steal from a dead person like this? It's like, oh my, it's just, anyway. Yes, to your point, you're right. There's an awful lot of evilness, and we talk about it all the time. It just amazes me. Every time I think I've seen it, about as dirty and slimy as it gets, somebody does something else. I'm like, oh, my dear Lord, please help these people's soul. Help all of us do whatever. I was going to just briefly mention, and I don't know if you said a whole lot about cruising them, but we'll get back to that. We know we're going to get back to the government stuff here. But O'Reilly, he's been on, I've seen two different interviews with him now talking about his book, Killing Jesus.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
I did not read the book. I haven't bought the book. I just, him talking about Jesus. And since we've had a couple of conversations on here about what would Jesus do and these other things, it's just kind of interesting that this book, as he's trying to be extremely open, historical in what who Jesus was, the man Jesus, who was he, and this kind of stuff, and you know, how he did have a temper when they were using the temple to sell stuff and whatever as a marketplace, and the various things that people don't like to think about with Jesus. They prefer to have a the Messiah kind of thing about it. So anyway, so he's being told that people are telling him he's going to rot in hell for having written it, because people just have this different image of what Jesus is. So
I had to listen to him on, I guess I didn't have to, but yesterday he was on one of the talk shows, and the man is part of and part and parcel so involved in all this that's going on in our country right now. He is in it up to his, I'm going to have to be nice again, aren't I?
Yeah.
Up to his elbows, let's put it that way. And why people, I would not give the man time of day and buy his book. I'm just sorry. There's no way. I don't care. I might be all wrong in how I view Jesus Christ and what took place. But if that's how I want to look at it and live with it, and if I'm dumb for that, then I'm dumb for it. Just like the same people, same thing goes to me with the people who are falling hook, line, and sinker for Obama's crap. But Bill O'Reilly is out there. He simply wants to get an argument going between Christians and start a fight so he can get something out of it.
Well, and I couldn't help, there were different times as I was listening. He was on 60 Minutes, and then he was on Glenn Beck today. And, you know, obviously he's been doing the circuits or the book routine, but you know how that goes. But it was just kind of interesting as I was listening to him talk about God being, or Jesus being, another human. And not the Son of God, not this Messiah, as you said, going on those. And I kept thinking, shouldn't he be talking to Bill Maher about this? Because Bill Maher doesn't believe in God. He says he believes in God as a general, but he doesn't believe in the organized religion kind of stuff, and thinks it's, that's why he's got some book about religion out there himself, some comic or whatever he says. So it's almost like, well, maybe he should be talking to Bill Maher about this.
If you read the Bible and studied, and I don't know if he's Jewish or I don't know. I just know that he's going to have a good time in hell with the rest of them that's going to follow him when he goes. But anyway.
Well, O'Reilly's Catholic. O'Reilly is Catholic.
He's what?
Catholic.
He's Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, he's still going to have in hell. Anyway, the Bible tells you there's flycatcher out there. ACAM is still done. Still nothing will stop the goose stepping Obama to me. Okay. It tells you in the scriptures that God was born, that Jesus was born in the likeness of man. Because the good Lord just realized he'd made a big mistake and he needed to fix it. Things weren't working out exactly. Now this is, I'm doing this in Doreen version, okay? So he set Jesus down here. Oh, Jesus was an alien. He sent Jesus down here to suffer and for our sins and to pay for our sins. And that's exactly what happened. Now, if you believe that, great. If you don't believe that, that's okay too. Because I think the last time I looked, I do live in the United States. And I do believe in the United States we have freedom of speech. We have the right to believe as we believe without being criticized or put down for it. And that includes the government, that includes the military, that includes a whole damn bunch of them.
Okay. Well, you definitely had no arguments there. Freedom of religion, of course, we talk about that gap in there with that religion. If your religion is the Muslim Brotherhood, Muslim faith, Islam, and you're supposed to kill the Christians and the Jews, maybe we have a problem there.
Well, I ignore them.
Yeah. What's that?
I'm ignoring them. I'm not going to give them credit and give me a headache to even think about them.
But when it comes to, excuse me, O'Reilly and what he's saying here, and I mean, part of it is kind of, if you want to call it, comical in the way he tries to put it. The most famous man in the world never had a PR department, never had,
yeah,
never had you heard it, but anyway. So it was kind of interesting that he was saying this. We're going to be hearing all sorts of things about it, I'm sure, in the next 4 to 6 months while it's out there in rare form. But it was kind of interesting, his comments on it. And which all I kept saying is I was listening to him, I kept saying, okay, so what would Jesus do if the Muslim Brotherhood came in here to destroy came to America to destroy the Christians and the Jews and everybody except them? So what would Jesus
do? He'd get on his knees and kiss their toes.
Jesus would kiss the toes of the enemy?
No, you're talking about Jesus?
Yes, I said, what would Jesus do?
Oh,
I'm talking about the fact O'Reilly's talking about Jesus the man. Of course, we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. So this person or individual, Jesus, what would Jesus do if he was here in America or knew that the Muslims, the Islams, had come to America to destroy, to kill the Christians and the Jews, and anybody who wasn't Islam? Islamist, what would Jesus
do? Well, I think he would do like he did when he came back. He was born the first time. I think he would go back and teach to bring Christianity back, whether that be, and to me, Christianity and Judaism, it's all the same thing. They just come from different books. A different interpretation of the Bible. Because Jesus was a Jew. But he had 12 men sitting around the table when he broke bread and made them priests. So, you know, as the world revolves, because we all have different opinions and different ideas, we can't agree on a damn thing, it seems like. Things change. My logic tells me that's how it works. You had a little bunch over here that says, well, I don't want to do what this little bunch over here is doing. I think we need to do it this way. So they split up. But we all pray to the same God. Now, the Muslims, they came from the snake. And in my eyes, God would do just handle it the same way he did when he came here in the first place. He would preach Christianity. He turned into salt, told her not to look, and she did, and that, you know, they're gone. He will take care of it. I don't think he'll come in and just wipe them all out with a sweep of a hand. He doesn't do it that way.
Well, I don't know if you're paying any attention. If you're paying any attention to the chat room, we have Flycatch out there putting some comments.
Obama is a Sunni Muslim and will protest the interests of Saudi Arabia since they are also Sunni. We know that fly. The only problem we've got is to get the rest of this country to notice it. You've got people in Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives that know it, but they're not doing anything about it.
So what does Flycatch suggest we do right now? Because I think Flycatch had some questions the other day, but he dropped off too soon. I didn't realize he was putting stuff out there. He or she, whatever Flycatch is. Can't tell from here.
I think it's a he, but I'm not going to swear to it.
Assume nothing. So go ahead, Flycatch. Put your thoughts out there. Let's see. What was this other? Obama is a Sunni Muslim. Okay, yeah, we already know. Yeah, well, we know. I know he's a Muslim. But don't ask me what kind. Well, protest in the interest of societies. Yep, definitely. I would definitely agree with that. He is. But what do we do about it? What would Jesus do when confronted with the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, I believe he's going to teach Christianity, and I believe that he's going to try to leave it up to us and to get them to change and become Christians. Probably won't work, but I think, isn't that the way he works? I mean, he doesn't just come in and wave his hand and do like the Muslims are doing and say, you have to follow my rule, but he teaches Ten Commandments teaches I shall not kill.
Well, that's where the conversation gets so interesting, because we know many of our military people are Christians. And when you go to war, you don't typically go to a ballroom dance. You're going there with the intent to kill.
Well, yeah.
Defend, which will in all likelihood at some point cause you to kill. So... What does
That's
Jesus
true, Sally, but at the same time, I don't think God will punish you for protecting your family and your home. You know, there's got to be some logic there. And
that's my whole point. If the Muslim Brotherhood, as the Muslim Brotherhood has taken over this country, are we going to stay in our homes and protect our homes while our neighbors are getting killed?
No, I'm going to go out and I'm going to shoot. And if God decides to send me to hell for that, and hell, I've got plenty of sins to worry about. I'm going to hell anyway, so, oh, well. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. I mean, I'm going to do what I have to do to protect myself and my family. And I believe that's the way God wants us to think.
Well, and I mean,
I don't think he intends for us to go out when we don't understand something, or we get mad, or we have a hissy fit, or we have a baby fit, or whatever. And you know, I believe that's what his "thou shalt not kill" is. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not an expert on this.
Oh, come on now. You're supposed to, well, in fact, a joke that...
I know. Go ahead. Tell me. I know everything.
The joke that Glenn Beck was making this morning, you may have heard it, talking about New York, obesity in New York City has increased 25% since Bloomberg got in office. So the joke is, you know, it's like, wait a minute, with everything he's done to curb obesity, and the obesity has increased. And then at that point, well, Glenn Beck made some joke about, we'll go see how much the food stamps increase at the same time, probably 25%. But at one point he said, well, Bloomberg should go kill all the fat people. He said, just for a fat, kill them. You can't have them. Anyway, that was his silly humor on that one.
Okay, I just remembered something. I didn't mean to catch up, but I just remembered something. Fly was talking the other night about, what was it he said? You made me forget it. Oh, God. Fly, what did you ask me about the other night? And I told you to talk to Sally about it. I can't remember it. And he says, Jesus taught compassion and mercy, also preached the right of self-defense. And when you are defending yourself and your family, then that is, I'm not going to say it's not a sin, but it's not the sin as though you walk out the door, pick up the rifle, and want just to shoot somebody to say you did it. Thank you, Clyde.
Or steal their money. Well, and also, is you didn't go out there and shoot somebody because you were robbing their money or whatever else. And,
right.
One thing to defend. And
right.
The whole conversation I had gotten into before was about the churches. The churches seem to be doing so much anti-Christian these days that I just don't understand it. Not protecting the Christian faith.
He's talking about the people that got killed in the mall out there, and asked if by the one in mall?
Kenya.
In Kenya, are you aware of what mall attackers did? Christian males they captured. They cut off their testicles and crushed their nose. That doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
But you noticed go ahead. No, you can go ahead.
They were saying something about the white widow. There was a white woman who was doing all this or who was coordinating all this. I heard something about this lady, white widow is what they were calling her.
Yeah, she's been wanted for a long time, and they thought she had disappeared or something, but she showed back up in all this stuff. She's coordinating some of this stuff.
All these events.
Yep.
Mm.
So she's on the most wanted list. They were all excited because it's the first woman they've had on the most wanted list. Oh, yeah, he was talking about Obama's half-brother.
Right.
Have we talked about his half-brother? And I don't know, we didn't know anything about it, and to let us know. So I asked him to call in, and he didn't pay attention. Call in and tell us about it or put it down to here because I'm about to go crazy worrying about it.
Yeah, I from time to time I hear something about some half-brother being involved, but I didn't hear anything more as to the details of it.
He has a half-brother over there, and they interviewed him. Sheriff Joe's people did, and they interviewed him when they're over there in Kenya, looking for evidence and talking to his grandmother and everything. You're not very shy, Fly. You've been talking to us down there about if you were shy, you wouldn't be talking to us. Anyway, he interviewed him, and he said Obama has done nothing to help him, and he lives in a shack and everything. And did I believe it? No, but that's what he told him. And they're saying, or Fly is saying down, he said he wouldn't run for office. They asked him if he was going to run for office and any time, and they said no. And now I'm hearing from the grapevine somewhere that his Fly is... Ketcher just said he was behind the attack in Kenya?
Yeah, and that's what I was asking to explain. What's this about his half-brother being behind that massacre? I don't know anything about it, so I want some more information. And he's saying Sheriff Joe was in trouble again. Now, well, come on, you got to give us more information on this. And where are you located? What state are you in? What city are you in? Where are you at, Flycatch?
Joe is in trouble again because he's taking meat out of the diet at the prison.
Oh.
He's feeding him vegetables. And I say,
well,
more.
He's trying to make him healthy.
Well, yeah, I'm going to make them lose weight. You know, they all fuss and holler about how broke they are. They don't have any money. Well, Sheriff Joe's just trying to help the situation.
Well, so Northern Mexico, California. Okay. Well, that's interesting. That could mean all sorts of things.
Well, that means.
Is that why you.
Person
yeah,
who's went to Mexico and bought a piece of property and is living over there. Did I get it right?
Is that what that means? Well, that's the question. Are you an American or a
Mexican? Because the cost of living is less.
Well, there was a big deal on, in fact, Stossel had Ron Paul on his show yesterday talking about education. It is so encouraging, California, that has been renamed Northern Mexico. Okay. That sounds about right. There's the one taking over. Yeah, but anyway, Ron Paul has really been putting a lot of emphasis on homeschooling, which I think is so good with all the craziness of Common Core out there. I am so glad to see he is out there really pushing homeschooling. So I thought that was really interesting. And at some point in there, they were talking about the education of the Mexican people and how despicable it was, and that the Mexican family will pay for the private education because the public schools are so terrible. And I was like, it looks like the same thing here when you get right down to it. Maybe they're not as bad as Mexico, but the public school system is so messed up, it's not funny. And I really hope he's able to really keep pushing. But, you know, I found it interesting. He never talked about Common Core. And that was kind of interesting from both John Stossel's perspective that he didn't bring it up and also from Ron Paul's perspective not talking about it, too. But Ron Paul was just pushing all the benefits of homeschooling. And then they had two kids who came in who were homeschooled, and they were saying, well, don't you ever get to meet anybody and all this other stuff? And they said, no, they have parties, they have dances and everything else. And so they have their own group going on out there for homeschoolers. Let's see, 73% of grade school children in California are absent from class 101 days per school year. Yep. Yep. And so Texas is known as Northeast Mexico. Okay. I have to admit, I don't think much about that when I'm over here in Florida. I do. Florida is, Miami is New Cuba. So we keep waiting for that to happen between some portion of Puerto Rico or Cuba. Take your pick. But, okay. Okay, well, what else you want to talk about before I catch? This is your chance now, because I didn't see you out there last time, and you left before we
Don't worry about me when you don't see me, because I'm just listening and piddling and doing other things. I think we've just about covered everything I had to gripe about, I think. Of course, I'll figure out something hang up, but oh well. There's always the next time.
Now, well, I was asking Flycatch to give us some stuff because I missed his information, hers information last time. So to take advantage while I'm out there watching the chat room. But what I was going to ask you earlier, what is your latest take on the Ted Cruz thing? What do you, I mean, you like the fact that he did the 21 hours and all that stuff. Any take on what's going on now with that mess with him and what he's doing?
Well, I take that. What my take on this is that if the people who did not back him, did not support him in his efforts to at least do or make it an appearance. If he made an appearance, he's a hell of an actor. That's all I've got to say. But he got out there and he showed people that he was trying to do what we have been telling him we want done. And that's to stop Obamacare. We don't want it. We're, it's not fair. It is an overtake of our rights. And he's the only one that had the nerve and the guts, and, you know, as I'm saying the nice words, to get out there and do it. He's standing up to them. Ask me what I think about the Republicans that are cutting him up and putting him down for doing it. I think there's going to be a long list of Republicans that aren't going to get reelected, and they are not going to be able to figure out why.
And I think that's a good thing. I think this is going to backfire on so many Republicans. I really do think so. I think that my attitude about the GOP is DOA on Election Day if they don't do something about Obamacare and amnesty. I think that's very much true, and I think it's beginning to show a little bit more.
There's already been talk of if Harry Reid doesn't stand up and do something about Obamacare, there's people out there asking that he be removed as Speaker of the House.
Oh, yeah. He was so afraid of losing his job this time.
Because, and there's not going to be anyone to say, oh, no, you can't do that. I'm still here and I'm the boss and you got to do what I'm telling you to do. The American people are saying you have to do.
You work for us. We don't work for you. You work for us. You seem to be forgetting that part.
That's it. And more and more people are saying that. I don't know how many of them are really understanding what that means. You know, it's easy to say something. It's another one to say it and not to really understand what it is you're talking about, and I think we've got a lot of people out there like that. But at this juncture, I don't care. Just get it done.
That's right. Now, going back here to the chat room, October surprise coming, and it may go nuclear. Well, that could be interesting, too. I'm telling you, right now, I'm pretty much expecting almost anything to happen in many ways. I still say that when it comes to the Muslim Brotherhood and that stuff, they're going to be planted in different metropolitan cities across the country. Whether it's going to be on 9/11 or some other day, maybe it's going to be Easter, who knows, they're going to have some event. But it'll be a day when people are attending some kind of event that's like some kind of nationwide celebration where there'll be large groups of people in the same place. Maybe a Super Bowl night or something when it all hits the fan. And let's see. You didn't tell me where you got your info from. That's okay. Ladies, we will have one-party system when amnesty is passed. Oh, yeah, we totally agree with that, and that's why we're out here fighting not to get it passed. And, again, at what point do we not have anybody honest in public office today that can do something about the charges against these people, which is really what it comes down to, which is what my question was earlier to Ted Cruz. What good is it, you have a president who's out of control, who's violating his authority, yet you've got two houses of Congress who do nothing about it and sit there and watch him do this. Well, then you've openly admitted that you have a dictator and or a king, whatever you want to call it, because you no longer have a president. He's doing his own thing. He's not following. He's not maintaining the limits of his authority. So why do they just do nothing? Which all is all ties into the amnesty. Why are we not securing the border right now? Isn't it treason when they don't secure the border?
Well, yeah, it's their responsibility to do that. But when you've got what's her name that just quit? I can't pronounce it. But, you know,
Napolitano.
Yeah, that woman.
Yeah, and we still don't have a replacement for her.
Well, it's just as well, because what we're going to get is going to be worse than she was in the first place. I mean, that's a given. But, you know, when she tells she's the boss, and when she tells her employees, do not stop illegal immigrants from coming across the border, you know, I'm surprised they get as many as they do.
Yeah. Yep. And
they're doing
last time. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, they're doing just enough. They're doing just enough to keep the president from actually getting impeached. That's what they're doing to keep the public happy and to make them. Because the average Joe Blow, and you and I both know this, don't have the foggiest idea of what's going on.
Well, O'Reilly said he figures about 65% of the American people have no idea what's going on.
Of course. I mean, that's like today. I'm trying to carry on a conversation with this guy. He likes to talk to me because I guess his wife at home won't talk politics with him. And we're laughing and joking and talking politics. And all I can hear out of a woman sitting next to me is, I wish y'all would quit that. You're ruining my day. I don't want to talk politics. I said, oh, you'd rather sit at home and moan and groan because you lost a husband. And I dearly, you know, I'm really sorry that that happened. But there are things that need to be taken care of in this world. And the only way you're going to figure out what to do is to talk about it. Well, she gave me a go to hell look, and she shut up, and we kept talking.
Well, citizenship is not a spectator sport, and it's not politics. It's talking about your country. That's the other part, the talk about politically correct garbage routine. We're talking about what's happening in our own country. If you can't talk about what's happening in your own household, your own family, then you got another problem, if you ask me, but because that's what this is about. And, I still, of course, with the job and everything, you still got to play nice and don't say stuff to the wrong people and keep it out of the office because it's not my office. But when I cut the rest of the time, I was like, you know, I'm just going to say what it is, tell it like it is, and whatever happens, happens, you know.
Well, that's all you can do. And, you know, somebody today made a comment that one of the reasons that they liked me was because you always knew where they stood with me because I tell it like it is.
Right.
And I get in trouble a lot of times in that group. You know, you're being mean. I said, no, I'm being honest. Since when is it a crime to be honest?
And that's the truth, and that's really what it comes down to. And that's why we're in the mess we're in, because people don't want to deal with the reality of what's happening. We kept being nice. Kept saying, sure, come on in. We don't care that you're trying to kill us. Sure, you know. The other thing, which I mentioned last week, speaking about being killed, poisoned, whatever you want to call it, Smithfield, you know, Smithfield pork meat company that's been bought out by a Chinese firm.
Yeah.
This is another one that I found interesting to listen to, the weekend chatter. There were those that were saying they thought it was good, because this was going to be exporting more meat to China. And then someone said, well, but the thing is, China's not used to following any regulations. What if they do it the other way around? They export the meat, do their thing to it, and then bring it back here or whatever. And how little control you have, because we already know the Chinese do not really care about sanitation when it comes to food. Look at all the problems we've had with what they've done on food now, up to this point.
Well, what you got of the New World Order, you're not going to have regulations on the meat. They're going to be able to sell it and do what they want to with it. Use whatever
chemical. Exactly. Go ahead. You there?
Yeah. I was taking my phone. I had a call, but I'm not going to take it. You know, that's what we're looking at. But the other thing is, a lot of people aren't using Tyson anymore. Is Tyson using the Muslim way of producing their meat again, or what? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't buy a lot of Tyson products to begin with anyway. I never really have. So I never paid much attention to them specifically. But I don't know. Flycatchers out there reminding us the Chinese kill our pets.
Well, yeah, they eat the dogs.
Yeah.
I can go real politically incorrect here, but I'm not going to do it.
Oh, my. Well, and remember, once One World Order, you're not allowed to have domestic pets either.
Oh, yes, you are. They're going to let you do that, but they're going to tell you what... you're going to have a certain amount of square footage in your house for them, and you're going to—it's going to be ridiculous.
Muslim population in U.S. is 2%. Once it reaches 12%, it's all over for us. And how long do you think it's going to take for it to reach 12%, especially with a wide open border?
Not very long. What I'm wondering is, we're talking about all this stuff. I'm wondering, we've got people, Muslims and everything here training in the United States. In North Carolina, I think somebody said the other day.
Yeah, I've heard something about North Carolina.
Yeah, and they bought up all these weapons. I heard a rumor that it was supposed to take place in September, but it didn't. And that is probably because of this health care bill. I think they expected to have it passed. And in it is a bunch of takeovers, a bunch of stuff taking away a lot of our rights and enforcing a bunch of rules about the NDAA bill or whatever. And
NDAA?
Yeah, NDAA, and then the Patriot Act and so forth and so on. And I'm just wondering, and then this thing with China buying, trying to think and talk at the same time, doesn't work. But coming in talking about China buying port packing company and everything, it kind of makes you wonder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, and of course, a Chinese company took over Long Beach Naval Base over there on the West Coast.
Oh, did they really do that?
Yep. Under Clinton's watch.
And
they took because they shut down the naval base, and it was sitting there empty. And then because of all the job losses and the people were complaining, well, the Chinese said, "Well, we can use it. We'll take care of that for you." They said, "Okay, let's go ahead and give them a Navy base."
Well, you know, I had heard that Obama gave the Chinese all rights to California, with the exception of starting a war. They gave them domain?
Eminent domain, yes.
Domain.
I've read and talked about that a couple times on the show, I saw that it was Clinton who did it. It was Clinton and Obama together who crafted this thing. I'm looking to see if I have it in my stack of papers here. And to answer Flycatch, I knew about the Russian troops. I didn't know it was 15,000. I wasn't sure how many. The article that I've got here, U.S. gives China eminent domain over U.S. property beyond high treason. And this was February 28th of 2009. And I've tried to find something to confirm this, to prove it one way or the other, but I've never been able to find anything else that stated this, and I really would like to know, something to confirm it, to say the same thing on it. Because they give a lot of specifics in here. And let's see, simply put, the feds now have actually mortgaged the physical land and property of all citizens and businesses in the United States. They have given to a foreign power their constitutional power to take all of our property as actual collateral for continued Chinese funding of U.S. deficit spending and to continue U.S. carrying the U.S. national debt. This is an unimaginable betrayal of every man, woman, and child in the United States, an outrage worthy of a violent overthrow. Let's see. And anyway, so I had heard of that, but I haven't been able to find anything else that confirms the same thing. And I don't, I think it did say an executive power. I was going to go look at the executive order, Hussein Obama is a looking promising change you can believe in, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Obama sends Hillary Clinton on a critical mission to China to help write H.R. 45. That's what we're going to look up, H.R. 45. A complete grab of America's guns, Adolf Hitler, state leaders who understand what Clinton and Obama agenda with China is all about. Are seeking legal sovereignty to prevent the loss of property to a foreign power. There's all these different things that have happened over the years. That was number 12. And there was 13 when China agrees to continue investing in U.S. Treasury bills only after securing the right of eminent domain to physically repossess foreclosed American private property. This move is the equivalent of an unconditional surrender following a bloody war. This also gives Chinese military the legal right to use biological weaponry to clean up America all at once. It gives them the legal right to use deadly force on removing trespassing Americans from occupying Chinese real estate. Now, again, if anybody can find anything else to confirm this, this is what I have right now on it. And it's disgusting, but this is, I think, what you were talking about.
Yeah. I heard that on another talk show. I had heard another talk show, and it seemed like I heard that on another program, but I can't remember where it was. I'm short of mind.
I initially saw it. I got an email with a link to the YouTube. So you can go out there and see a YouTube talking about this. So that was somebody that sent the YouTube on it. And when I saw that, then I went out and I started looking to try and confirm it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I would love to have another source that says the same thing, because right now this is the only one source I found on it. And I put it out there plenty of times asking people if they had any information, but I never got anything back. So at this point, it could be true, might not be, I don't know.
Yeah, it might be.
It sure sounds true.
Those things just give us something to talk about.
That could have been it, too. We all know they do those kind of silly games, too. Pass
and
them
they
around
succeeded.
To see how far it'll go. Yeah.
Yep. Well, but we wouldn't be discussing it and having these conversations if we thought we could trust the people that we've elected to put into office.
This is true.
It
and
all boils back down to
trust?
The same.
What's that?
It all boils back down to the same thing.
It does.
And I'm after, absolutely. You know, hearing the thing about maybe, you know, something is going to happen in in October or so, I had, and it's set time, yeah, I can use this word, I had a brain fart. I figured out why Hillary did not fight any harder and didn't fight to get the fact that Obama wasn't eligible to be president of the United States, why they didn't fight any harder for that. I figured it out. You want to hear it?
Sure, go ahead.
I think, this is just my thinking, I think that they took her into a back room, just like they did when she fell and hit her head, which she really didn't do, that they took her into a back room and told her, look, we picked Obama to do this. We're going to have Obama take care of this part of it. And then once he gets the takeover started and gets this health bill in place, which you wanted as well, you know, Obama wasn't the first one that wanted a health bill.
Right.
At that time, then you can come in and finish up the dirty work. And she jumped up and down and clapped her hands and was so excited she decided to take the offer, plus $1 million I gave her.
Yeah. Exactly. Here's $1 million. Get lost for a while, and we'll promise we'll help you later.
Yeah, we will, you know, make you happy, fat, and rich in a few months. Come back. Don't call us. We'll call you.
And we'll give you that mighty job of Secretary of State, which,
no,
by the way, I think John Kerry's got to be one of the worst. But anyway, yes.
Well, I'm talking about when she runs for president. You know she is going to run for president.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying in the beginning.
That's given. Go ahead.
Okay, you were talking about when she decided not to run before, why she didn't push it. And I
right.
said, yes, because you know, also including her cushy job as Secretary of State. And then, of course, I made the wisecrack that I think John Kerry's going to be one of the stupidest Secretary of State we've ever had. I haven't heard him say an intelligent thing out there yet unless I've missed something.
Well, that's why he didn't get elected for president when he ran. I mean, people at least had enough sense to figure out that, you know, this guy is not going to cut the mustard. It's just not going to happen. But, you know, we got snookered or snucky doodled or what. I'm getting tongue-tied. Anyway, we took the bait and, you know, we voted for this idiot we've got in there now. I can say that because it's the end of the show. And we believed we were getting, Hillary had been swept under the carpet. Her upcoming TV movie has been canceled. Oh, that woman that was, that's good news. If that's true,
yeah,
that's
something about
news.
CNN canceled their documentary, that's what I heard.
Oh, that just tickles me pink. You know why? I'm so bad. That means she may not run for president because that employee she had that stood up for her husband, the one, you know, Wiener's wife.
Wiener man.
A Wiener man's wife. Oh, she got them in big trouble because they were out there talking about how big of friends they were with the Clintons and everything. And it was Hillary's Hillary, stand by your man that gave her the strength to take care of her husband.
Yeah, and all of a sudden this was coming back on her, the backlash she was getting.
It's biting her in the butt. Oh, my God, I'm loving it.
Yeah. And what was the other? They were saying when about CNN canceling this thing, they were saying something to the effect nobody wanted anything to do with Hillary. Everybody was staying as far away from her as possible or something, and all of a sudden everybody's abandoning her. So while I still think she'll end up running or she'll attempt to, who knows whether it kind of makes a difference on this now, especially that you had that mess and then the Benghazi thing. There's enough reasons not to elect her if you're not brain dead.
Well, you know, the other thing, and maybe people are remembering this, maybe they're afraid that people are really remembering this too. When she sat up there, when she was being testifying, and she refused to wear burka. When she was testifying, and they were questioning her about what happened in, what's the name of that place? I don't know what I'd do if you weren't here from my memory. Anyway, she was testifying about what happened to those four Americans over there. She let get blown up. And when she replied to him, well, I don't know what difference it makes now. It's over with.
Yeah, how sick, you know?
Well, do you not believe? I mean, I know I don't have much belief in what's going on in America as far as Americans being able to stand up, you know, for themselves and do what's important to save this country. But maybe, just maybe, they decided that would come back and bite them in their behind if they tried to put her up to run for office.
Yeah, they're probably having buyer's remorse. You're
going to
call it that?
Oh,
well, we are down to two minutes.
Well, the last thing I've got to say, my last comment is going to be poor Bill Clinton. He's going to be crying in his tea because he's not going to be able to molest another woman and have sex with her in the Oval Office. And God bless America. Love you, Sally. Thank you.
Talk to you later. Thank you for calling in. It's always a lively discussion. And Flycatcher, I appreciate you having your conversation out there, too. The moon god will eventually replace the cross. That's interesting. We'll have to talk about that one next time. We are down to the last minute here. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Please, just be Americans. Be be what a real American is. Not politically correct, honest, own that gun, take care of yourself, and demand liberty from these people. Do not let them push this Obamacare through. Do everything we can to derail it, stop it, whatever we got to do. And on that note, I will be back on Thursday. Have a good evening, and thank you, Lord. Please, God bless America. Have a good night, everyone.
Night.